Here we are then, it's a Tuesday. We've got the one, the only, Prickles in. That's your cue to say...
Hello.
Yeah, thank you. And we've also got... We've also got Kev Newton OBE in. Or is it an MBE now?
Not yet.
Not yet, but you're working on it.
I'm getting there.
I mean, I don't know who you are, but you've turned up and you're doing this magnificent thing. And, you know, hats off to you. An hour ago... She said something to me, sorry, Ali said something to me, and I got on my high horse about committees and meetings and people should be doing this and doing that. The meetings happen, nothing comes of the meeting. And I say, and I mean this, and I really mean this, I hope more and more people get on board with this whole scenario. There's people that want to talk about it and have a meeting about it, and there's people that get off their backsides and do. And I say, if those people do and lead, others will follow. And with that, you're the perfect example, because you've taken this idea. I say we know now that you come from Bolton because you told us off air, but you're one of these guys that has just appeared from nowhere all of a sudden, you're doing this fantastic thing. So welcome, Kev Newton. Tell us all about the bus shelter, isn't it?
It is. It's the bus shelter at IOW. It's IOW because it's the first one. It is the first one in the world, our project. What we've done is we've bought a double-decker bus and we're going to convert it for the rough sleepers on the island. Our mantra is sleep is only the beginning, and that's because just providing a bed for them is just the beginning. What we're going to do is we're going to provide services on board. So everyone will be, we'll drive around, collect them, bring them back to our base, which is Carisbrook Priory, or the land at the side of Carisbrook Priory, and then feed them, do evening stuff, and people will be in bed by 11 o'clock. Anybody who misses the bus can come to Carisbrook Priory and get on the bus before 11. They've got to be up and dressed by 9. Because at 10 o'clock there'll be services coming on. So we've got housing options, we've got benefits, Samaritans, mental and physical health, people helping with reading and writing, people helping with job search to start with. They'll be on different days, and then in the afternoon we'll be encouraging the guys to work on the allotments at the Priory. We're going to open a charity shop, because there isn't a charity shop for the homeless at the moment. So we're going to open a charity shop and encourage the guys to work in there as well. And what we're trying to do is to break the routines that they have and create new routines. Eventually, when they are rehomed, we will have a mentoring scheme where we'll help with budgeting and emotional support.
Wow.
And that's it in a nutshell.
Wow.
I'll go into more detail in a moment.
So it can't be just one person. I mean, you've obviously had the idea and you're the one behind it, you're the backbone behind it, but you must have an array of people that you can call upon for expert help. I don't know what your background is, but what do you do?
Okay. My job at the moment is a development manager for First Port Retirement. And I do this in my spare time, or what used to be my spare time, so my dinner hours, as I like now. And after work, lots of meetings. There is just me doing this at the moment. I do have some ladies who are helping with fundraising, and I have some guys who were homeless, who have rehoused, who were helping strip out the bus.
What made you do this then? What made you get behind this?
I used to volunteer at the night shelter, and then when the night shelter closed and we couldn't find anywhere, I had to think outside the box. Something needed to be done, and nobody was doing it.
Is this the one that was at Downside?
The one at Downside, yes.
And it closed down about what, a year or so?
February. Yeah.
I mean, it's. They were doing great work. They've been there for a couple of years, haven't they?
They have. Yeah. The problem with the night shelter was that it was open for 3 months normally, and then the guys would come December, leave in March. Come back December, leave in March.
The same people.
Similar people if they hadn't drifted off.
See, we probably, I mean, you're probably more aware of it than, you know, with your background in the NHS. But I don't, and I say, I until very recently, It's not the fact that you didn't go around with you went around with your eyes closed. You didn't see it. It's not you just don't see it. And then one night, probably about 5 or 6, maybe 7 years ago, I was walking home from somewhere, and there's a little place up Pyle Street. If you walk up Pyle Street and then Scarrocks Lane, you know there's a little sort of like a tunnel there where you go from one street to another, and it was I found a couple of people that were curled up there asleep. And that was the first time that I'd ever seen anything like that on the island. And it made me think, because then you sort of start talking to people, and I said, for the first time ever, and I say, well, where have you been all this time? There's lots of people that are homeless, there's lots of people that are struggling, but you don't ever see it. So you naturally assume if you don't see it, it's not happening.
People see what they want to see, don't they?
Well, no, it's not so much that. If they don't see it, they don't know. And, you know, that highlighted it to me by walking by and seeing, oh, crikey, there is people on the Isle of Wight that are homeless. I never thought that was the case on the island. Because they all keep voting Tory and voting the Tory in, don't they? So you think, well, how can that be?
When I worked in A&E, there was a lot of people that were homeless that we kept seeing time and time and time again. Because if nothing else, they got a bed for the night.
That's what I say. You see it because you're at the end, you know, you're at that level. You see it, but I mean, I didn't see it in my lifetime until then, and I was really, really shocked. And now, you kind of read about what you're doing, Kev, and you know, other people involved, and so on and so forth, and you think, crikey, this is bigger than we first realised. How many people do you know that are homeless?
When I did the Christmas shoebox appeal, people asked me why I was doing it, because there weren't any homeless on the island. I didn't realise how many there were. We collected 700 shoeboxes and we gave out 350. There was about 320 homeless people on the island. That is people who are in hostels, bed and breakfast, sofa surfing and rough sleepers. And I'm sure there's more that we haven't reached.
I'm sure.
We've got rough sleepers. It changes every day. Last count was 17 rough sleepers.
17 on the island?
Yeah.
And what sort of age groups are they?
The youngest is 16. A 16-year-old girl and a 17-year-old boy. I've pointed them in the direction they need to go to, because they will go into a hostel. And the eldest is 55.
Okay. So. I guess it's more sad when someone is a teenager.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it doesn't make it... A homeless person is a homeless person, isn't it?
That's
at the
right.
End of the day.
And we have mainly men. We have two women at the moment, but it's mainly men.
What's the main reason for them to be homeless?
The main reason on the island is relationship breakups.
Okay.
And that's why you usually get men, because the men will leave. The woman will stay with the children and put up with things,
okay.
But men will leave.
It's kind of sad that that's the way we are these days, but that's it. That's the nuts and bolts of it. And what are people in higher places doing to you know, alleviate the problem? Relying on you, I guess.
I guess they are. The official figures show that there are no homeless people on the island. So because there are the official figures show there are no homeless, there is no funding coming.
How can
even someone like Crisis and Shelter, when we approach them for funding, they say, we can't give you any because your official figures show that there is no homeless.
See, that's just turning a blind eye, isn't it? Seriously,
you must be so. I got frustrated then. Mm. I really did. So Lord only knows what you must be.
I do
like.
Get frustrated, but I know that when we have the bus up and running, everybody who uses the bus has to be registered as homeless with Isle of Wight Council. So therefore, the figures will go from 0 to 20 overnight.
Do you know
and
what?
They have to take
and then
notice.
They will have to get funding.
See, this is what I mean by when you were talking earlier on about sitting in a meeting with a load of people that were really good and passionate people that are not going to change anything. This man's changing things. Mm. He's putting something in place that cannot be ignored. At some point, those figures will pop up on a form somewhere and they will have to eat their words and say, there are homeless people on the Isle of Wight.
Yes.
So credit to you. You must have... An array of support from people saying you're doing wonderful work, but you must also, people must be looking at you and thinking you might be just a pain in the backside at some point.
I'm sure some,
and that's a lovely
some official people might feel that way.
So do you have any do you have people giving you a hard time? Have you got people looking over your shoulder making sure that you do everything absolutely spot on?
I've not. No, all I'm getting is support. I've wrote to lots and lots of people, but I've wrote to every parish council because this is a island-wide initiative. It affects everyone. There is only one council, I'm not going to name them, but there is only one parish council that came back and said, we don't have any homeless people here, so we can't give you any money. But other councils have given lots.
Okay, so I wouldn't put you on the spot. No. But that's that kind of, that bury your head in the sand kind of attitude is not very helpful at all. Would you name them off air?
I'll tell you afterwards.
And we can go around and have a word.
Send the boys round.
How long will it take to officially... Because I'm guessing you're working towards that. I mean, there are other things rather than ticking boxes, I'm sure. But how long will it take you to get that those details on that form so that they have to realise that there are homeless people? How long will it take?
When we looked at starting the bus... One of the main reasons we started was because a building was going to cost £500,000. The bus will cost 35,000, fraction, and it'll accommodate 20 people. I raised 7,000 in 2 weeks to buy the bus, and that was an important milestone because once I bought the bus and stripped her out, the worst case scenario was if I didn't receive another penny, I could put some camp beds on, which is what they used to sleep in the night shelter. Put the camp beds on, the guys would all be together, warm, safe, and we could start building from there. Since then, I've raised £5,000, and we're continuing to raise more and more money. It will take a month, that's all, to get it up and running.
Okay.
And I'm looking to have it up and running by mid-August. It will be then reclassified as a mobile home or special purpose vehicle rather than a bus, and then we can insure it, and then I'm hoping to launch it at Bestival. So if Rob DeBank's listening, we want to get it in Bestival. We've got ITV Meridian and BBC South both said they will cover it once it's launched, and we'll get all the publicity afterwards. Could do with publicity before, like today.
An inspiration.
Yeah, no, don't worry. You'll get plenty of... do you have a connection with Rob? Have you got an email address and so on?
I've emailed his management company.
Okay. Don't take no for an answer, because they fob you off with an awful lot of Rob's busy at the moment.
You don't sound like you'd ever take no for an answer.
When people say, oh, yeah, Rob's busy at the moment, he can't talk to you, he's, you know, he thinks to himself, hang on a minute, what am I? What am I? And I'm actually doing some good.
Exactly.
So don't take no for an answer. I'm pretty sure that Rob's a decent guy and he'll get back. And
Everyone tells me he is.
So you need to raise that for £35,000?
Yes, well, we'll need, what are we on now, 12? So
where do you get the bus from? Where are we getting from?
The bus came from York. I found it on eBay.
Oh, so you've got it already?
Yes, I bought the bus. I bought the bus on eBay from the pictures. Didn't go up to York to see it, but said, if you can bring it down to me, then I'll have it. I thought, well, if it can travel, what is it, 120 miles?
I like the way of thinking there.
To Carrollsbrook.
It can travel around the island. Yeah. The bus is only 18 years old, and her engine is only 3 years old.
Right.
So the guys that have driven her, the bus drivers that have driven her for me, have said that she's in really good condition and better than some of the Southern Vectis buses.
Okay. So
she's, we've stripped her out now completely, which is why we can't insure her as a bus.
Right.
And there's lots of space on there.
Okay, so you're looking to get the whole shebang sorted out, all the mechanics of it, everything inside. You've got upstairs, you've got 16?
Yeah, we've got 16 bunks.
Yeah.
I suppose pods rather than bunks. Each pod has a locker built in and a little shelf for putting the knickknacks on. And a plug socket. Each pod has a curtain, and each pod has a mattress, two sheets, duvets, two pillows, no sleeping bags, and nobody sleeping in clothes. It's an important thing. Upstairs there is a changing room and a chemical toilet, and there are two pull-out beds for emergency use. Downstairs we've got a kitchen on quarter of a bus. Then we've got four seating areas, double seating areas, which the tables fold down and create four more beds, two for females and two for the volunteer staff. And then we've got further seating, so we'll have 20 seats altogether. So when we're driving around collecting, we can collect up to 20 people. And then there's going to be a door cut into the side of the bus, and that will lead through into the trailer, toilet trailer, which will have toilets in one side, and then two-thirds of it will be showers, toilets and sinks.
Okay, and that will that be travel around with you, or is that when it's...
No, the toilet trailer is has got wheels, so that we don't need planning permission, because it's mobile, but stays static, but can be moved if we need to. So the bus will keep pulling up to the same spot, so they can just transfer over into the toilets.
So this will travel around the island, and it will be static, and it will be somewhere in Carisbrook?
Yeah, so it's going to be based at Carisbrook Priory.
Right.
The trustees at Carisbrook Priory approached us and said, how can we help you, and have let us use this land free of charge. It's been really helpful. So we're going to go from Carisbrook Priory to Shanklin, Sandown, Ryde and Newport, collecting the homeless, because those are our key areas. Anybody who's further afield will find out where we are, and we can find out you there, but the ones we know about are in those areas. They'll then come back, have their evening meal and just relax in the evening.
I'm just seeing you like with different hats on, chef, bus driver, you know, cleaner, you know, that sort of thing. So you must have an array of people that are supporting
I haven't
you.
At the moment, and that's part of the reason for coming today.
Okay.
Is we need volunteers. There's going to be 42 volunteer slots, 5-hour slots, which are from 9 till 2, 2 till 7, and then 7 through till 11, and they stay on board, and then 8 till 9. Some people want to do more than one slot. Some people want to do more than one night. That's what used to happen at the night shelter.
Sure.
Food will be cooked. The evening meal will be cooked off-site. Breakfast and lunch is cooked on the bus. And we've got volunteers who are going to cook the food for us. I've got volunteer drivers as well.
How wonderful that you've got all that. Yeah. What a real shame that you have to do all of that, because this all stems from taking away something that was in place and so on. But you've turned a negative into a positive. How many other people are doing this around the country? Is this a unique one-off?
The bus project itself were... first of all, what happens in other places is there are buses that are used for soup kitchens and for meeting rooms. There are buses used for people to sleep on, but there isn't a bus that has everything included. So this is a unique project and the first in the world.
Do you see other people, following on the idea? Because this is really unique. What have you had from, just say for instance, the island's media? Have they been very supportive?
They have. County Press. We're constantly in the County Press. We're in again this week, this Friday.
So are we.
Yeah. We always seem to be in there. I try not to be. I try not to have my face, because I don't do it for the publicity, and I don't want the publicity. Unfortunately, we have to have the publicity for the project.
Sure.
But I personally don't do it for the glory. Last week we launched Barney Bus, who's here with us today. Barney Bus is our bear. And Barney Bus will go to different events, to different companies, to raise awareness. Because as well as raising funds, we want to raise awareness.
Sure.
We want people to know that the bus shelter is going to be available, and that if somebody is homeless, where they need to go. Because a lot of people don't at the moment.
Absolutely. So I'm glad that you're getting the support that you need from the media. Mm. Are you getting support that you need from elsewhere? Because you're going to need certain things. Obviously, food, you're going to need this, that and the other. You're going to need... obviously, people in to tick things off and say yes, you meet the criteria for that.
Yeah, we've got the housing of wanting to meet us. Unfortunately, because I do work full time, I'm struggling for time to get to meet everybody. Benefits are the same. We've got Samaritans have come on board. And we've got life coach coming on board.
Yeah, literally.
And we've got someone with reading and writing skills and job search coming on board, literally. So all of it will fall into place. I just can't do everything too early.
I know what you mean. I do. But you reckon all this be up and running by middle of August?
In August, yeah.
How
as
brilliant.
Long as I can start the bus by mid-July, and we're looking to start... we're looking to take all the windows out upstairs,
right,
on the bus, and then put sheet metal over the windows, so that when we create the bunks, a bunk isn't against a window. And then we can insulate it, because that's the biggest problem on the bus is insulation. But when you've got all them big windows, you're going to lose a lot of heat.
Sure.
So we're looking for somebody to kindly donate some sheet metal, if there's anyone on the island knows. But
have
if
you,
not, we
have
can...
Have you got any companies in mind? Because let's just give them a nudge.
Yeah, ISM down at Dodner Park are a good company.
ISM?
ISM.
I'll make a list metal. Of it. When we podcast this, yes. I'll just put a little thing on there to yeah. say, can you? That's yeah. I. What are they called?
ISM.
What's the ISM
Island
stand for?
Island Sheet Metal.
Island Sheet Metal.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Have you been in touch with them?
I've sent a letter.
What'd you get back?
Nothing yet.
Nothing. How long did you send the letter?
2 weeks ago.
Oh, crikey, that's...
Oh, yeah,
they might have gone on a holiday.
Time.
They might have had a holiday. Yeah. But, you know, that's... Yeah, yeah, we'll get in touch with them. What okay. else do you need?
Wood. We need lots of 3x2 wood, and unfortunately it can't be second-hand wood, because once it's in there, then we can't start replacing it. So
okay.
it has to be new.
Have you targeted anybody?
We went to B&Q.
Yeah.
Asked them. They've said that we had to write in, so we've wrote in. Still not heard anything from them either.
Okay. Well, to be fair, they're not a local company,
no,
are they?
And,
and I've noticed that if you go to those kind of companies, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
What about Roxall Timber then?
I haven't tried those.
I would try Roxall Timber or what's the other one? Maurice. Now, Maurice, I know that they're now
Jewson's. Yeah, Jewson Maurice.
But they
still
support
local, isn't
local
it?
People. They still have a say.
They do a charity thing where they give away £250,000 worth of materials
right.
to certain charities, and you have to apply. I did apply for it, but because of the uniqueness of the bus, we didn't meet the criteria.
Right.
It has to be a building.
Okay. Red tape. You must get frustrated with red tape. What's your address? It's a bus.
Yes.
You can't take part
in.
Why
tied
not?
Up, though, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, but that's what I say. We just
no,
got
to sort
this out.
There is a way to
there
do
is a way.
Things,
there is.
And you have
and
to
always
do them
a solution.
The right way.
There's, my personal philosophy is that every problem is just a solution waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And it gets me through, because every problem I come against, I will find a way around it.
Good for you.
Always.
Good for you. So Roxall Timber.
Yeah.
Go to them.
Contact them.
Or, you know, have a crack at Maury's again.
Yeah.
But Jewson's or whatever.
Yeah.
What else do you need?
Volunteers.
Okay, yes. So volunteers.
We need lots of volunteers.
So whereabouts are you going to get them from? How are you going to advertise that?
At the moment, we've got our Facebook page.
Yeah.
We've got lots of likes on our Facebook page, and people saying they want to volunteer. The problem with volunteers, when we get them, is that their lives change, and then when we're ready, they're not available, which
right.
is why we're not shouting out too soon.
Okay, that's common sense.
Yeah.
Well, do they need some kind of training before that?
They don't. Everybody has to pass their DBS check.
Right, okay.
That's just part of the Charity Commission guidelines,
okay.
because working with vulnerable people.
So you are officially a charity?
We have sent off for our registration, and
right.
the registration takes 8 weeks, and that was up on the 18th. When we've contacted them, they've said, we're still processing it.
Yeah, we've been told
we'll
that as well.
You.
They are so incredibly
yes.
sly.
Yes. So it's there, and there's no reason why it won't go through, because it's not-for-profit.
Kev, that's what they told us.
Yeah.
And we're still blooming waiting.
Yeah.
Don't take no for an answer.
That is part of the reason that we don't get grants. Part of the reason that
sure.
we don't get certain funds is because you're not registered charity.
But when you are...
That charitable status brings a lot in.
It does. But it's getting there. And I know that we started the process about 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting, and you know, we keep getting told this. We, you know, the goalposts move, and we're processing it. But if you get in touch, it will take longer.
That's right.
And you think,
yes.
right, okay, right. Have you had a word with the old MP?
We visited Andrew at one of his surgeries.
Okay.
With a homeless person.
Yeah.
And said, Andrew, there are homeless people on the island, and he said there wasn't any homeless people, because the official figures show there aren't any homeless people. But it's just
so you're doing
this, isn't it?
You need to take your bus and pull up on his drive.
Yes.
Honestly,
I understand where he's coming from, because he can only ask for monies if there's figures there that show there are.
But he had
people.
A person in front of him.
But let's
and
let's bear
we will
in
show,
mind.
Sorry, we will show that there are homeless people. Those figures will go up, and then he will have no excuse for
good
for
you.
Funding.
You actually. took a homeless person to meet him,
yes.
and he still said there was no homeless people on the island.
Yes.
And this is the man that has said that he's going to give away money, the pay rise that he got,
to charities,
to local charities that help people. And, you know, okay, officially, you've got to respect the fact that officially there isn't anybody that's homeless. We all know different, but it would have been a great opportunity for him to say, hey, look, I want to help you. Officially, I can't, but if you go down that channel, you get to a position in the future where there is figures in a column that we can say they're proper figures and we work by those figures. We can then help you. God, you're so... I mean, it's so frustrating. I would have... you would have punched somebody by now, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't have done. You might have done.
It's all this red
tape. No point getting frustrated. It doesn't change anything.
It's no good for the blood pressure, is it? But all you want to do is help.
Yes.
And you've taken a homeless... I mean, let's just picture the scene there for a minute. Let's milk this moment. You take a homeless person
a
to
real
see
live homeless
our,
person.
Our MP, and the MP says, no, there aren't any homeless people. Hang on a minute.
But it's... How do you tell what a homeless person is? I take somebody in front of Andrew who doesn't know that that's a homeless person. He can only go off his figures.
Okay. Do me a favour, take your bus and just pull it up on his drive, complete with all the homeless people on it.
I don't know how you stay calm, I really don't, but I'm guessing you're in it for the long haul, and
yes.
I'm guessing that you know at the end of it, you are going to get figures,
yeah.
they are going to be, put right, and people, you know, they're going to have a voice.
Yeah.
And that's I guess you have to play the long game, and I guess you have to be polite and bite your lip.
Yeah.
You must have some right good scars in them, you know.
Big teeth marks.
One of the advantages of the bus is also that everybody gets a license to, or gets a bunk on license for a week. And then that means that if somebody like me and you decides not to come home one night, wants to go and stay with a friend, that's fine. But if somebody decides the bus isn't for me and doesn't come back on the license renewal date, so for example on a Monday, the bedding is changed and that bed's reallocated to somebody else. The advantage also of that is that each bed is numbered, and what we're going to have is at Cashbrook Priory, we're going to have 20 letter trays, and that's a PO box number. So each bunk,
so they've got an address.
So not only for benefits, but also for registering with a doctor, for medical services. So people who've got mental health problems, we had a gentleman who went into 7 acres, came out of 7 acres, had nowhere to go, so there was nowhere for the follow-up to go. Because they've got an address, they can get the follow-up.
You've probably covered this already, but I'm just thinking, I know how these people work with... Hang on, if they've got an address, that means they're not homeless.
Yes.
So
yes.
how do you get around that? Because you know that someone somewhere sat in an office is saying, well, they've got an address, so how can
that's
they be homeless?
That's why they've only got a bunk on licence for a week.
Okay.
But half the problem of being able to claim anything is not having an address.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a vicious circle.
So
we did have that problem.
If you've got an address and a box number somewhere for your post to go, it's actually registered for the bus shelter.
Yes.
They will know.
How many people can you help at one time?
20. Yeah.
And in the future?
Hopefully what will happen is that those 20 will be found permanent accommodation, and it's just a continuous thing.
Okay.
If the bus gets full, then we've got an amount of land at Carisbrook that we will have some big tents on there, which will be glamping tents, because they won't just be camping, proper beds in there. And if we get full up, we've got overflow in there. Those will also be used for people who break the rules. And what used to happen with the old night shelter, unfortunately, was that if somebody broke the rules, they were banned for the year. That was too harsh for me. For me, I ask people to stop what they're doing or leave for the night. Each night is the same. There's not going to be no taking drugs, no drinking on board. But somebody who's an alcoholic isn't going to be able to stop drinking. So therefore, they're going to drink outside. As long as when they come on, they're sticking to the programme, they're sticking to signing up for the programme, and they're accepting the help that we're going to provide, that's fine with us.
Because there's no point being there otherwise, is there?
Exactly. As long as everyone's safe, we're not going to ban anybody.
No.
So I mean, just taking a step back and having a look at the future, I'm looking at you, the bus, you're helping 20 people, and some people will say, well, okay, what happens when that bus is full? You know, can you get another bus?
Yeah.
Do you get a, is that the best way forward? Or do we go and get a premises then?
We can get premises. The problem with premises is the cost.
Right.
It is. And we all know how strapped the councils are for money. And charitable organisations are the same. So what we're doing is something that's cost effective and does the same job. Costing £35,000, the same building would cost £500,000. So we can, for £350,000, accommodate 200 people, not 20 people. And it's as simple as that.
Do you know what? I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing. I really do. And I hope that you will get the opportunity to see all this through, and you'll see it all come to fruition, and you'll see people benefiting and so on and so forth. And I'm hoping that you embarrass and shame those people that that took away what was a wonderful thing and it worked and so on. And I hope then that people get on board with it and look, because I come out of here every day and I look across at the pub and I look across at the Key Arts, and beyond that there's a big building that's completely empty. And we've said this so many times, wouldn't something like that, it's just left, it's a huge building and it's just left, wouldn't that be a great place for something like this to grow into? Wouldn't it be great for, if we had a food bank there and so on and so forth? And there's so many buildings that are just left to rot. And there you are, you've had to get on a bus. I would imagine it's in some ways it must be exciting, it must be fulfilling, and so on and so forth. But there is an element of, you shouldn't have had to do that. And, that's not going to put you off and that's not going to bother you, because I can tell. I can tell just by looking at you that you're fully focused. This ain't... No one is going to stop you from
doing
this.
They're not, are they?
No.
But it's just, I look around at these buildings and I think, that building's just...
It's a waste. Absolute waste.
The problem is, you can buy a building or you can convert a building, but that building, when they'll fill up, that's what's happened with all the hostels, which is why there are rough sleepers, because the hostels are all full. So we can create another building that will fill up. The bus will fill up. But how cheap is it to buy another bus? We can get 10 buses for the price of one building. So it's just a cheaper alternative.
It's better turnover as well, isn't it?
Okay, look, we're going to take a break in a moment, but I just want to come back after the break, and I want to because you must be switched on with how many hostels and places like that there are on the island. Because this time last week, I think, was it this time last Tuesday, we had the guys in and they were wanting to raise money for the elderly. They wanted to be able to go round to care homes and talk them through having an iPad and talking them through technology and being on Facebook and being able to stay in contact. It's a wonderful thing. And all they wanted was one iPad so that they could do this. And they highlighted a point. And I went out that night and had a good look around and thought, do you know what? They've said that there's 8 to 10 care homes here in Newport, and I wouldn't have a clue where they were. I really wouldn't. And going back to the point I made earlier on about this little guy that was sat there with his blanket in this little place, first time I've seen it, I wasn't aware that it was going on. And I went for a walk with the wife and I said, you know what, they're all over the place, but I haven't got a clue. I don't even know what they're called, where they are, or anything. And you got a better idea, because obviously with what your background is. So what I want to do is I want to come back after the break, and I want to come back and I want to talk about the places that people probably don't know anything about. Now, I had my eyes opened a couple of years ago when we had a young lad come in and do the 4P's course. And I can't remember the name of the place, but there was some kind of hostel up off of Staplers somewhere. And I can't remember the name of the place. I really can't. I wish I could. But when I sort of said to him, so where do you live? And he said, oh, I used to live with my gran. And then, my gran couldn't cope with me anymore because, he had a few issues, a few problems and so on. And he said he was living in now in this sheltered accommodation or whatever you call it. And I just thought to myself, how sad is that? How sad is that you're 17, 18 years old. You live on the Isle of Wight. This is 2000 then. It was 2014. And that's like almost third world.
Yeah.
And it really hits home. but people aren't aware of what's out there. And I know that there will be people out there that Ian, they've been there for years and we know all about that, but I'll bet you the majority of people don't even give it a moment's thought out there that there are care homes right on the doorstep and there are hostels right on the doorstep and there are homeless people right here living in Newport and sleeping rough, and elsewhere on the Isle of Wight sleeping rough, and we have no clue. We don't see it, so it don't bother us. So I just want to come back and I want to really highlight that in the next part. So we'll take a quick break and we shall be back.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
This is Vectis Radio.
For the people, by the people.
Have you looked at your carpets lately? Are they fit to be seen, or do they let you down? Or maybe they could really do with a freshening up to get rid of some of those stains and smells. Whatever the problem with your carpets, curtains or upholstery, you need ChemDry first. Call us for a quote on 295 518. No matter what the material, be it leather, cotton or silk, ChemDry first have the tools, training and experience to ensure they look their best. All cleaning products are 100% safe and non-toxic. Call 295 518 or go to www.chemdryfirst.co.uk to book a free quotation and claim your free can of spot remover. We offer a no-quibble money-back guarantee on every job, so you have nothing to lose. That number again is 295 518.
Having problems with your phone, or are your electrics on the blink? Maybe you need your appliances or your building wiring tested, or just a light fitted. West White Audio and Electrical Services can help you. For friendly, reliable service, call Kelvin on 754666 or click westwhiteaudio.co.uk. All island coverage.
Hi, I'm Maggie Curry, transformational coach and consultant. Stress, low morale, physical exhaustion, toxic relationships all can cause damage and can make you feel invisible. You'll begin building your new positive future working with me and learn to understand that we are living in the feeling of the principle of thought taking form in the moment. Every one of us was born for greatness, and we knew that until we forgot. Working with me will help you to remember again. When you start to see the true power of thought and its relationship to your way of observing life, your transformation will begin. Get in touch today on 754666 or email me at hello@maggiecurry.co.uk.
Modernistic sounds of R&B, soul and ska from the great days of the jukeboxes, coffee bars and cafes. Mix it up with memories of smart suits, miniskirts and scooters. Sprinkle in some two-tone northern soul classics and your Monday night's complete. Join me, Marco, for Mod Anthems every Monday evening, 7 till 10pm. And let's go back to the future.
Stay social and get in touch. Add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Okay, welcome back to part two. We've got Ali Prickles, a.k.a. Alison Hayden, Nurse Ali, call her what you will. And we've also got Kev Newton. It is Kev Newton, isn't it? Kev, is, would you prefer Kev or Kevin? Kev.
If it's Kevin, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, right,
it's
okay.
It's like me with Alison.
Yes.
Okay, just get a little bit closer to that microphone.
Sorry.
You sort of just got all sort of cocky then and sort of sat back in your chair. Yeah. You know. We mentioned just before the break that, you know, sometimes we need to highlight these things. And we, you know, we have a clue. We watch things on the TV and we see it. And we probably think most of us, that sort of thing doesn't really go on the island. And, you know, I was quite shocked to know that there were so many hostels and so on and places alike. How many are there in Newport? Let's just deal with Newport.
In Newport, we've got, let me think. We've got one at Carisbrook. That's a mental health one. I think that's the only one we have in Newport. Yes, that's the only one we have in Newport. We've got one in Sandown. We've got three in Ryde.
Okay.
Got one in Shanklin. But there are several smaller houses dotted around as well.
Okay.
Where people like Real World Trust have bought houses to get people off the streets. So people will have a room in that house and then shared kitchen.
So there's numerous places?
There are.
What about the place that I was trying to describe before the break?
What would that be?
I'm pretty sure it's off of Staplers somewhere. You go up Staplers and it's off to the left somewhere.
No, I can think of Kerr Homes there, but I can't.
Is it for younger people?
For younger people.
Yeah, it might be called something else because there's one in Ryde as well, isn't there?
Yes, there's a foyer in Ryde.
Yeah, the foyer.
Right. Yeah, okay, that's a place. We get a number of youngsters coming and they're based in the
that's
foyer.
That's where I point people towards.
Just describe what the foyer is like.
It's a lovely building. It's a very modern building.
Yeah.
And it's for people up to 25, if I remember rightly. Yeah, up to 25. But it's constantly full.
Okay, but it's full of people that don't have anywhere else to go.
Yes, that's right.
And nine times out of ten, what is it? They've got no family or they've argued with their family, fallen out.
Yeah. A lot and of it's just it falling out with their parents.
Yeah, falling out with their parents. Yeah.
I just want to highlight the fact that, you know, there are, because we go around, I mean, I'm guilty of this. We go around, we see things, and if we don't see them, we don't believe they happen. It's a bit like our MP. Sorry, you're not homeless. You're not on the list. You're not homeless. Yeah. And, maybe it's time we change people's perception. Yeah. Just, you know, go out there and open your eyes a little bit and find out a little bit about these places. So the foyer is for youngsters up to 25 years old. And how many people would be in there at any one time, roughly? 20? 30?
No, I'm trying to remember. I think it was 50.
So 50?
I think it was 50.
It's quite a big place, isn't it?
I've not been since I did the Christmas shoebox appeal.
Okay.
And I think it was 50 boxes I took.
All right. So 50 is an awful lot, isn't it?
It is, yes.
It's too many.
Yes.
It's too many. And that's just one place in Ryde. And we do know that there is a place in Newport. There's three in Shanklin and so on and so forth. Yes. All of a sudden, this is building. Yeah. We haven't got a massive amount of people that live on the Isle of Wight. It's not a huge place. And there we are. We've got this issue. We've got this problem. And no one really appreciates the fact that it should be a statistic, but it's not.
But those youngsters down at the foyer in Ryde, they're not classed as homeless, are they?
No.
Because of their age. So there you go, there's another loophole to say that they're not homeless.
It is difficult when you ask somebody what a homeless person is, they automatically think of a rough sleeper.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
so
it's not, is it?
Let's be clear then. What is the definition of a homeless person?
A homeless person is someone who doesn't have a home, basically. That's it. Homeless, without a home.
So if this person can't go back home because maybe, you're being abused at home and so on, then to me, that's homeless, isn't it?
It is. If there's something, if you're living somewhere where you can't say that that's your permanent place to live, then you're homeless. So if you're in a temporary hostel, a home doesn't have to be a building. We've got people who live in caravans.
How hard is it to try and convince these people that see that as, no, he's got a home?
Yeah.
It's sad because they're just playing with words, aren't they? Wouldn't it be great? I mean, I keep banging on about this, but wouldn't it be great if there weren't any politicians? Wouldn't it be brilliant if there wasn't any politicians and all their red tape and all their jargon and all their complete nonsense?
And there is
nonsense.
So much red tape. There are so many things that prevent people being able to claim, register and get what they should be entitled to, because the rules change all the time, don't they?
They do.
You know, and people think, I can do that, and then they come up against a brick wall and they actually can't do that.
But you have to find a way around it.
Okay, let's work. We've got 10 minutes left. Let's work on some positives. Okay. You're helping X amount of people.
Yeah.
And just say for instance, Mr. X turns up, he's homeless, he comes to see you, and what's the next step? And what's the end product?
Okay, Mr. X would have to, or Miss X, would have to be registered with Isle of Wight Council as homeless. The reason for that is, this is a fantastic, anybody who sees the website and sees the Facebook page will see what the interior of the bus is going to look like, and this is going to be a fantastic inside. So we're going to get people from the mainland who want to come over. People living on the streets are going to want to come over. If someone has to be registered with Isle of Wight Council, it's going to stop them coming over.
Sure.
I think other councils on the mainland will then take it on. wanted to see I was working. So they go and register with Isle of Wight Council. They then come to us, because Isle of Wight Council will give them a number. They come to us, give us a number, sign up for our programme, which is to accept the help that is available. And then they live on board. So they get allocated a bunk, and that's their bunk. So they've got to keep that tidy, make the beds, etc. And then we do the day stuff. So the service is coming on, and we give the services that they need. So we target the services that they need. And if there's a service coming on, or sorry, if there's a service they need that isn't coming on, then we can take them to that service. But they've got an address. They've got somewhere, it's only a bunk, but it's somewhere they can call home. Each bunk has a locker. Each bunk has a shelf for them to put the knickknacks on. It's their bunk. And there is no time limit on how long they can stay in that bunk. It's up to us to give to find permanent accommodation for them. Not us, because we're going to pass that over to social housing, private landlords, council housing. But we will point them in the right way. But there's no, you've only got a week here, you've got until we find you somewhere.
So those people that you have helped in the past,
yes,
majority of them now are doing okay, they've found houses, they've sorted their lives out.
When the night shelter closed, there was 7 people who used the night shelter every night. When the night shelter closed, I've rehoused 5 of them.
Okay.
Only one of them has slipped back. And that's because he was given, he signed on for Universal Credit. And Universal Credit gives you 4 weeks' money all in one lump sum. So he'd had no money and then got £300 and he bought an Xbox.
Oh, right.
Because he'd not had £300 before.
Are you going to have, you're going to have some that slip through?
It's not a very big slip, though, is it?
It's not.
No.
It's not.
Seriously?
No.
No.
But it's the way around that is that they sign up for us to manage their finances with them. And we can get Universal Credit fortnightly now. We can get rents paid to landlords. So
it'll cut out all that for them handling the money and being tempted.
Yeah. Okay, I don't suppose you can actually go back and you can, you know, stop these things happening, but is there anything that we can do as a nation or people of the Isle of Wight that can prevent this happening? I'm guessing that people row and they fall out with families and that makes kind of, they make themselves homeless or whatever. You know, there's not much we can do. I mean, we got 3 youngsters in the green room waiting now, and I'm looking at them and thinking, I'd hate for any of them to be in this situation. So is there a prevention?
There isn't.
It just happens.
Yeah, because of us being human, people
it's
argue.
Just life, isn't it?
People argue.
It's life.
Our latest, he's not our latest now. He was our latest guy. He was homeless, a German guy, who was a chef in a pub, accommodation included, and he lost his job, so lost his accommodation, and said, well, I've got a week's money, so I'll put myself in bed and breakfast, because then I'll be able to go in a hostel. And he's now sofa surfing in between living on the streets. And it's that easy, because he didn't think he was going to lose his job.
Sure.
And it could happen to any of us.
It can happen to any of us, yeah.
What would you like to see happen? Change the law? You know, law-wise, would you... just say, for instance, I take over the country because I've got more common sense than anybody, and I say to you, right, I'm putting you in charge of this. What would you do? For a start, we'd change the laws on that is a homeless person because he doesn't have a home.
Yes. I think benefits need to change. The way that landlords are treated needs to change. The government is changing the ruling on landlords, I heard the other day, where landlords used to pay tax on the amount of profit they made. So if they had if they made £500 in rent and £400 mortgage, they paid £100. They paid tax on the £100. The government's now changing it, so they pay tax on the £500. So lots of landlords are going to back out of it. So there's going to be less properties available, and that is going to increase homelessness, because people who are renting, landlords are going to be selling the properties.
See, that solves a part of the problem.
Yeah.
It's common sense. It's joined up thinking. Don't you wish that some of these politicians had a bit of joined up, you know, thinking about them, between them? You know, even one would be good,
yeah,
wouldn't it? But, I mean, it just doesn't seem to be, OK, there's a problem, you're not, and the easiest way of dealing with it is you're not homeless. And that's it, and then I'm going to turn my back on you and I'm going to bury my head in the sand like they very much do.
Yeah.
How sad is that, that here we are in 2016 and we're still doing that? You know, let's just realise that there are people out there that need help. Let's just realise that they're probably less more fortunate than us. And maybe just put somebody else first for a change. Or at least have a thought and at least accept the fact that there are people out there that are worse off than you tonight because they're going to be on the streets.
Mm.
Yeah.
Living on the streets. I mean, it's just amazing to think that there are people out there. We don't see it, so we don't believe it. We don't, you know, we choose not to see it, or we don't want to see it, whatever. But it's just the fact that it's out there, and we just turn a blind eye to it. But credit to you. I mean, you're like one of the nicest people I've ever met. I mean, this is what you've done is absolutely incredible. And there is a team of people that obviously are working with you and supporting you. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping there are, anyway.
I've got some people.
And
yes, I do myself. I mean, I can rely on myself.
How incredible is that? What you've done is a massive, massive achievement. I mean, if you ain't an OBE in 2 years' time, then none of us are going to get OBEs ever again. Because let's be honest, there are people out there that have got things like that. I know that's probably not what you're in.
It's not. But I don't do it for that. I do it because it's the right thing to do.
Can't give it away. He's homeless.
Yes.
Or not.
Yeah.
What do we do from here on in? If we want to be a volunteer, how do we get in touch?
Okay, so we've got the Facebook site, which is The Bus Shelter IRW, or also our website, which is www.thebusshelterirw.co.uk.
Okay.
Contact us on those, and we can go from there.
Brilliant. Thank you. Pleasure to do an hour with you. And thanks, Ali, and we'll see you soon.